back with another DCFU film.
I knew you were going to do
that,
too.
Yeah, that's right.
I knew it.
It is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the DC film universe movie, Birds of Prey, The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, or as it's also been renamed, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. And I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. The one Joel Bennett.
Fantabulous.
Thank you for joining us. We are going to talk about the new movie that's still in theaters, just opened up. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to get spoiled, don't listen to us. But if you haven't seen it and you want to get spoiled, listen to us. We love to have you. We've done all the DC movies. We've talked about them, gone into depth on them. We like them. So we're going to talk about this. Did we like it? Did we not? You're going to find out. If you want to join the conversation, go to facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Send us an email, Bennett Brothers Podcast at gmail.com, or send us a tweet. At Bennett Bros Pod. Thank you. Also go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com to get all those previous DCFU or DCEU, as they actually call it, review podcasts that we have done. And so you can see our stance on a lot of this, because especially if you want to go back and listen to our Suicide Squad one. I think we did two. Did we do two Suicide Squad ones?
No, just one.
Okay, because they did release the...
We may have talked another one.
I think
one
we might have talked
the
about
extended
it,
extended
yeah.
one.
Yes. But we do talk. We do review
Joel
those.
Did not like Suicide Squad.
I did
And
not.
I did.
I did not like Suicide Squad.
I'm not
Squad.
Saying it's a perfect film, but I liked it.
It's an Academy Award winner, Jerry.
But did I like it more than this film? Yes, I did.
There we go. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you next time. Is there anything else, Jerry, you would like to add into this conversation? Oh, go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. If you've never heard a podcast of ours before, what we do there is, for a donation of as little as a dollar, you can get mini casts, which are exclusive podcasts that are on the Patreon site. They're shorter, they're unedited, uncensored excitement. We got a new one coming out here soon, so go and take a look at that. It helps us out, and it helps you out, because you get more of us, and that's always exciting.
Helps keep the lights on, and helps get the podcast out there. Also, 5-star review. I know Joel said it, but I'm going to say it again. 5-star review.
I never said it, but that's all right.
Go to wherever you listen to this podcast. Please give us a 5-star review. And anything else in that, right? Just so it helps
what
bring
six
more.
Stars. Do 6 stars.
Yes, do 6 stars. It's 5 out of 100. Huge mistake. Having said that, then we are now into this. This is for the latest of the DC film universe movie.
Extended
the last
universe.
One that came out was not part of the universe. It was Joker. That's part of their black label, as they call it. That is an alternate universe that is going to be for one shots and separate pieces.
Or they decide to go, you know what, we're going to scrap the DCU.
They will never scrap the DCU.
And we are just going to go with the black label.
Nope,
universe.
It won't do it, because no matter how That's many true. People say that, oh, we shouldn't, you know, we're so bad about what happened with Justice League and Batman 5 Superman and all of those
Batman
pieces.
Batman 5 Superman.
That's what it is. So all of those complaints. And they go, well, where's the success? They go, well, Wonder Woman made $800 million. Okay, fine. Well, Aquaman made $1 billion. Oh, shoot, that's right. And Shazam made $580 million.
Well, what about the opening weekend, Jerry?
My point is, you know, Suicide, even if it was, you know, not well received, it still made almost $800 million or something like that.
The big thing they're pointing out now is that every opening weekend has been worse than the previous movie's opening weekend ever since Justice League, I believe, or Batman v Superman.
And
the opening,
doesn't mean anything.
Again, that number is so...
Because Aquaman made $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, no matter what, Wonder Woman, again, another Wonder Woman is coming out. Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out later this summer. But the bottom line is Aquaman made $1 billion. So yes, they're making a new The Batman movie that'll take place earlier. And yes, we had The Joker, which takes place in an alternate multiverse. Bottom line, successful movies. $1 billion for Aquaman. That's all you have to say. Everything else has been successful too, but once you say that, they're like, the film universe is going on, and this is within that universe. No matter what anybody will try to tell you that it's not, it is. And if they're telling you that, they're wrong. And why mm-hmm. are you hanging out with those people? So this movie...
Are we also including in the all the Warner Brothers shows, because they now all cross over because of The Flash?
That's funny, but no. Yes, that's true. They do now cross over. I like that. Nice. Good catch. But you didn't even see... Did you see that clip, by the way?
I did not.
Oh,
I should. Well,
should
I should,
it.
Because
on,
I've seen
yes,
everything
yes.
that comes with the DC universe, but I have not seen
all right,
that yet.
So
for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, real fast, Crisis on Infinite Earth, Earths, the Flash appeared on there. He's part of the DC Universe. The Flash from the DC Universe, DCFU, has now appeared on the crossover. So
Ezra Miller. All right. So we're going to talk about this film and maybe a little bit about the history of the Birds of Prey. Initially, though, before we get into the detail, Joel, did you like this movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I went in with very low expectations because I hadn't heard great things about it. I heard okay things about it. I actually had fun watching this movie, but the movie has many, many problems. Not the least of which is it doesn't even know its own identity. But that being said, I had a good time watching it. Here's my other big problem with this. I had just watched previously over the past 2 weeks, I watched all the Best Picture nominated films. So I'm seeing a bunch of wonderful films that have depth and are just artistic masterpieces. And I see this and it's really fluffy and not filled with, you know, you don't walk away going, man, that Harley Quinn, she's got a lot going on. There's a lot of subtext going on there. You just don't do that. And so maybe I'm a little biased by that. But I had a fun time. And you know what? I think I liked it better than Suicide Squad. Anyway, I did like it better than Suicide Squad. Boom, done. You, what'd you think?
I enjoyed this film. I don't know. I don't see myself purchasing this film. It's weird how, like, the DC movies, I don't know why. I'm just not into, like, getting them. I mean, I bought Aquaman on Blu-ray because it was in a $5 bin. And like, I don't think I've watched it. It's like, that's $5.
Aquaman is a, you have to sit in there and get ready.
I fell asleep in the theater in that towards the end because it was so pretty in it. But really? I did. No. It was really weird. I was like, oh my God, I'm falling asleep in a superhero movie. No, regarding this particular film, I enjoyed it. It has, I don't know if it's pacing problems or what, maybe it's in the story or maybe in some of the execution. I had to let go certain parts of the comic book that were totally distorted. The character of Cassandra Cain, who plays the young girl in this, She's one of the biggest badasses in DC Comics. You know, she was basically a Robin for a while, and she's just incredible fighter. And she's not, you know, the only thing they've used in here is the fact that she's Asian descent and her name is Cassandra Cain. It has nothing to do with that character. So I have to let that go. You know, the other ones there aren't as bad as that, but I've read a lot of the Birds of Prey comic books, so I was okay with that. It's just, it was a gorgeous looking film. I was really impressed with the looks and the colors, and they really felt the colors really great. I thought there was great moments, like when she was getting beat up and she slipped into the Marilyn Monroe Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend sequence, which I thought was funny because Ewan McGregor's in that with him, and he sang that in that song in Moulin Rouge.
Nice.
So I like that. I was like, oh, they're going for it. And so I really enjoyed the film. I just wanted it to be more. I don't know. Have the stakes been raised all over the board so that films need to be better?
Well, so with Jerry and I saw this together, and you made a point, and I think this is very true. This movie feels like it's trying to be Deadpool. Rated R, talking to the camera, trying to be witty and crazy and all that kind of stuff. It feels like a Deadpool clone in
a lot of ways. Known about it. They've actually come out and said, yeah, but we actually wrote this idea before Deadpool came out. They've really like, oh, we wrote it beforehand. It's like,
you can say that all you want. Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2 came up before this.
Yeah. But we wrote it. We wrote it. The original idea was for her to talk to the camera and everything. And that's not,
I don't mind talking to the camera
is not, it's just, they're not, Deadpool wasn't the first one to invent that.
You could see the parallels between the two of them. That being said, Deadpool is awesome. So if you're going to be similar to another movie, Deadpool's fine to be similar towards. It's just very similar. And it's a little copycatty.
I was disappointed, and I was hoping that the fights would be, the fight choreography, I wanted more, even if it's not realistic, again, it's not a realistic world, I wanted them to be more elegant or more resonance, and I never felt like they got into the right rhythm, which surprised me because I did read about that actually. This movie is obviously, they're getting a lot of press that it's directed by Kathy Yang, so you have a female director, and it was written by women and obviously stars women in the main thing. And so the actual action sequences, the fight choreography, they brought in the director of John Wick, Chad Stahelski, whatever his company's involved. He came in to do reshoots and actually to choreograph and shoot the fight sequences later in the game. And having said that, I was still like, not gender doesn't really matter at that point, but I thought that he's uncredited in the movie. They didn't want to put that. But he's involved. He did that. And again, they weren't terrible. I just feel that the bar has been raised so high that I want a fluidness to it that I was hoping to see more. And there was some there. There was some there. And the funhouse scene started to get a few scenes like that. I was like, okay, there it is. There it is. But overall, I wasn't buying it. And then there was also the disconnect. The reality disconnect I was getting frustrated with, as cool as it was when she's going through the police station and blowing people away with the beanbags and the glitter gun, and those cops have their hands up, it's like, but they all have guns.
And she has to reload. Yeah.
It's a small thing.
I agree.
And a better movie would make me forgive that more.
So going back to the fight scenes, like you're mentioning, though, a lot of slow motion, a lot of like super
almost
slow motion.
Almost too much. Almost too much.
And with water and like little thing and spraying. I like the way Harley Quinn fights. She's a fighter, and it looks pretty cool. When the Huntress fought, I was like, "Oh, this looks like an actress who's not athletically athletic." She didn't look like she was a big fighter. Like this is supposed to be an assassin, right? And watching her fight, I was like, kind of stiff. Maybe a stunt double would have been better use there or something. I don't know. But I agree with you. The fight scenes did not have that.
Gravitas?
I don't know. I've just watched too many Jackie Chan films over the years.
There is something to say about that. I was like, when she was fighting the guys in the car, and I was like waiting for him to hit the ground. I kind of wanted to see some of the guys fall out of the car, hit the ground, and like whoop, like slip and smash. Because there's like, I've actually seen that in some outtakes of a Jackie Chan film when Michelle Yeoh fell out of a car and she hit her head. It's like, it's terrible, but it's like, oh my God.
I mean, this one went with shock too, with the breaking of the bone. Like, they did it with the car where they broke the leg, they spend it the other way, and they broke the arm the other way. Like they like to do that in this movie.
But they don't have the guts to actually show bones coming out, which is fine. The other thing.
No, thank you.
Is I don't think they always knew what they wanted to do with, for example, the character of Harley Quinn. In the comics, sometimes her strength is augmented. She's stronger. She can do certain things. In this movie, she doesn't really have that and doesn't really do anything superhuman until that sequence when she's in front of the car. And she does this incredible flip to land on the roof. I loved it, but I was like, whoa.
When she's on the roller skates?
You had a world of quote-unquote realism where she's not doing that. And then when she did that, I did step back and go like, oh, well, how come they haven't done that more? And so, and then she swings into the window of the car, which I thought was cool. It was just not consistent.
We call that.
It felt like a reshot.
We call that the Marty McFly, where she's on the front of it with, and then she jumps up.
Who calls
up,
it that?
And she jumps up, and then she lands on the car. I call it that. It's called the Marty McFly, Jerry.
Okay.
I've seen him do it with a hoverboard and with a regular skateboard. It didn't seem as unrealistic to me when she did that. I mean, she's been on roller skates the whole time, so.
They acknowledged, by the way, I read an interview with the director, and they said, did you shoot a scene where she puts the skates on, or did you always have that plan? And she goes, oh, no, we just always knew that at some point she's just going to have skates on. And that
and
was
I
great.
Love that, when she brings up the
You
hammer,
actually like, where did she get the skates on? Like, well, she was carrying them earlier.
And then they made the line of, when did she have time to change shoes? I love that. I loved that.
The comedy was pretty good in the movie. Pretty good.
The CGI, the comedy of the CGI hyena is fantastic.
The hyena was like, Joe and I were like, is that a real hyena?
No. Jerry was like, train it? Me, and I'm like, no,
I mean,
not
obviously
a real
they
hyena.
Can't train it. I mean, there were certain scenes, but it's like the quality of it is unbelievable.
Yeah,
that
really
hyena is there.
Yeah. I also had speaking of the special effects and the way the movie looks, it had that early Tim Burton feel to it too, with some of the set pieces. Like,
yeah, the coloring, the lighting.
The lighting,
the,
but like,
the splash
with like the big
of
bodies
and
like
yeah.
the hands and the masks, the black masks, his nightclub, the way that looks. It had a very Tim Burton.
Was it you who told me that Black Mask was originally supposed to be
yes.
Sam Rockwell?
Sam Rockwell, they originally offered it to Sam Rockwell and he turned it down, but they kept him as the archetype sort of for Black Mask.
You almost
and
never
you
hear about original, people usually don't talk about who got the job first. That's interesting.
Melissa, you want to talk about Black Mask?
Yeah, I did. I thought you and McGregor did a great job. They did talk about multiple endings or different endings with the character. There was a sequence where he maybe had gotten his mask glued to his face so he couldn't take it off, which has been in the books where he can't take the mask off, which was an idea. There was also parts that were shot and cut where they had dick pics of him that he was trying to recover also, and they took that whole storyline out of it, which again didn't really fit and doesn't really seem like something that would actually whatever. That was the character is fine. Again, we talked about this in the theater, is the fact that the character's name is Black Mask. It's all about the mask. And he looks incredible when he does wear the mask at the end, but you kind
you get
of
get a glimpse of it
wanted,
in the beginning, too.
I mean, again, and Ewan McGregor is a great actor, a great-looking guy, all that kind of stuff, but it's like you should be in the mask the whole time, but really can't do it, but they should have done it. So I don't know.
They show you the mask in the beginning, so they tease you in the beginning, and they're like, here, he's gonna wear the mask, and then obviously he doesn't wear it again till the end. Even in that dance sequence, he doesn't wear the mask. This character was very interesting because he's playing a character that's supposed to be sort of, I don't know, he's kind of a psychopath, right? He's crazy. But you already have a crazy character in this, in Harley Quinn, so he can't be the same crazy as Harley Quinn. He has to be a different, a narcissistic kind of crazy. And I thought he did a decent job at it, but it wasn't enough to make me go, that was a memorable villain. I'm not going to walk away going, yes, that was it, because it just didn't have the extra level. I don't know, the way someone like David Tennant playing the Purple Man has that craziness, but it's also very scary. I think there was only one moment in this movie where you felt kind of scared of Black Mask, and that's when he's having that girl stand on the table and cut the dress off. That kind of showed the fear that everyone else had of Black Mask. But at no other point in the movie did I look at him and go, "Wow, what a scary villain." You look at him and go, "Wow, what a silly villain. He's silly. He's goofy. He's silly." Yeah. And I think they also did a disservice to Saz. He's supposed to be
Mr. Zazz.
I don't know why I said Saz. Mr. Saz is from Mistborn. Mr. Zazz. They do a disservice to him because he's also supposed to be incredibly scary. Like, this guy is supposed to be just cut up all over his body because he's mutilated himself for every person he's killed. And you get that kind of at the end. And so he's not as scary as he should be either. And I think that's a disservice to both of them because they have to be terrifying if you're not going to be crazy. And I think they went with more of the crazy route, but you can't go as crazy as Harley Quinn.
Yeah, and that's a DC problem that they had. I go all the way back to Batman Forever when they look at Two-Face. They said, "We need another Joker." It's like, no, they're not all the Joker. Just do the Joker. He's too crazy. It's like, it's not all the villains are not crazy. And yes, I agree with that.
I think that would have helped this movie. But
you know what? It's as good. You know, the character of Black Mask is as good as it is, I think, because of Ewan McGregor's performance. Yes. It actually makes it better because his relationship with Mr. Zazz and his reliance on him, and again, it's not comic accurate, and I get that, but
I think he had me laughing at multiple times too. Mr. Zazz should have been scarier. He's cutting off faces and we see it, so they could have used that a little bit more.
They've used that character. That character showed up in, it was either The Dark Knight, I think it was in The Dark Knight, he's actually in The Dark Knight in the courtroom scene.
Oh.
And obviously he's also been on Gotham. I think he's played by the guy who was, he played by the guy who on Barry. Hey, Barry!
Oh, yeah?
I think that's him. That's he fantastic. Plays that, yeah.
I stopped watching Gotham,
yes.
So.
Yes, I know.
Weren't all the villains on Gotham? Every single one of them?
Insane, yes.
Except for Batman.
All right, so let's talk about some of the pieces in here, maybe this, some of the comic book connections.
Can I also, before one more thing, because we saw this together, there was a moment in the film that stands out for me because we both had the same reaction. They're chasing Harley Quinn and the girl down in the police headquarters, and the bikers come in, and then they start shooting at Harley Quinn and the girl, and then they get done shooting, and he's like, "Make sure you keep the girl alive." And Jerry and I at the same time go, "What?
Why are you shooting at the girl then?"
At the same time, it was so like, "What are you doing?"
We need to bring the girl alive. Bang, 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 bang. I was like, wait, come on.
It was bang, 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 bang. I missed her. Well, make sure you keep her alive. Now I missed her on purpose.
Yeah.
so silly.
Bits and pieces. Talk about the Joker. The Joker is a character that looms large through the entire movie.
And we get to see a comic accurate Joker kind of in the opening animated
sequence.
Yeah,
I saw you jumped up about up and down.
I was like, well,
that.
There it is. I mean, you're seeing the Joker the way he's supposed to look, not the way they made him look in Suicide Squad.
We see the back of his face in Suicide Squad because the entire sequence at Ace Chemical when she actually jumps into the water or gets pushed into the water, all that was actually footage from the Suicide Squad. Jared Leto, and I'm showing Joel a picture right now, they actually filmed that scene. He was upstairs when she gets thrown out of that building and she's looking up. They had another actor dressed up like him. And I can't show the picture as well as I want to. But that's him. So they did have it, but I was waiting for that scene, and they didn't show that scene.
I'm wondering if that's also, isn't there a legal things? I mean, this has to go. Didn't this have to go with Back to the Future Part 2? Going back to the Back to the Future. Back to the Future
Part 2. No, they could have had him in this.
When they had another actor play it, and then Crispin Glover's like, he sued because of that, and he won.
Well, there's one thing of playing what you look like Crispin Glover, who doesn't wear makeup other than a hairstyle. And then there's another scenario where you're playing the Joker. It's you know, that's like playing. We can't have Batman. It's almost a mask. Sure. But no, they didn't use him. They want their cake and eat it too in these movies. Is they go, listen, we want to talk about the Joker. We want to have the Joker, but it's not the Joker movie. And we know that if we have the Joker in it, it's going to overpower the film. Now, I'm personally like, I loved how Joker was used in Suicide Squad. People were saying he should be more of him. It's like, well, that's not it. I like the fact that they teased him. It reminds me of the best Batman movie of all time, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. The Joker's in it. He's barely in it. And it's, so it's great. It's like you don't have to have him just be him against a Joker every time. I love that they bring it in, come back out. So I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, going with – and again, I could have used more Joker in Suicide Squad. I could have used Joker in this maybe. I was just happy they kept referencing Suicide Squad as much as they did. You know, you get the Captain Boomerang poster.
Yes.
You get her outfit. Her one shirt, that one gets sentimental value. Interesting, I read this thing that –
Little Monster was the name of the shirt.
They changed the costume, and they actually made her costume less, sexualized, maybe.
So it won't have the male gaze?
Because it was done by the female. And they actually made a point of saying that, though. Margot Robbie's like, we made a point of changing that, so she's not necessarily a sexual object. She's now more of a character. And I'm okay. Again, I'm not watching Suicide
Squad.
It is such a fine line
and all that kind of stuff that Hollywood in general, but entertainment also, trying to get the thing where how do you deal with the fact that you want to basically not make someone sexualized unless they want to be, and then it's empowering, you know, that whole back mm-hmm. and forth. Like, you shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be like a stripper. But a stripper could be empowering, so you shouldn't limit someone who they want to be a stripper, but you shouldn't, you know, you should ask their permission if you want to, can you be a stripper? You know, there's that whole back and forth.
Yeah.
They don't know, and nobody knows the best way to do that right now, so we're kind of in that in-between. And you know what's going to make the difference? Bottom line, the money. If this movie fails, which I don't think it will, but it might not make as much money as they think, and there's going to be a lot of reasons people are saying anywhere from, well, Suicide Squad wasn't popular, so people aren't going to see it because of that. There's a whole controversy there's no controversy that the name, so they're trying to change the name because people want to see more of Harley Quinn. There's complaints that this is Joker just came out and made over $1 billion and that people aren't running for that. There's all these lame things, and there will be people who will come out and say, this was a pro-feminist movie made by an entirely woman director, woman writer, woman stars, telling their message, and so guys didn't want to go see it. And again, I didn't get that message really at all either. I mean, there may be some of that subtext like you were talking about, mm-hmm. but that was not what
the fact that all the other people that are hunting down the girl and all that kind of stuff, they're all men. There's not a single female mercenary, and so they're not beating up any females at any point. It's all the females are beating up all men. I don't know if that's how intentional
that was.
Yeah, but
that's most movies anyways.
I know. That doesn't bother me. This didn't bother me. The idea that it's a sort of sequel, semi-spinoff of Suicide Squad is not made clear anywhere outside of Harley Quinn.
But she's the main thing.
But in the trailers or in the promos for it, it has nothing to do with that. And I think maybe if it had tied in a little bit more in the trailers or the promos and something like that, maybe it might have been a little... Maybe they would tie it a little
not,
more.
The marketing on this was poor. Every trailer I've seen, and I've seen this online, no trailer made me go like, oh, yeah. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's actually an accurate trailer to the movie, which made me go, okay. So I guess maybe they looked at it and they didn't have a marketing way to get into the trailer. The way Wonder Woman 1984's trailer, which I am blown away by, using Blue Monday... that song, the way that's used in that driving beat. I'm like, that trailer I've watched so many times. I'm like, man, I hope the movie lives up to the trailer. Where this one is like, oh, the movie kind of lived up to the trailer.
Yeah, they made this movie. I read, again, reading online things. They said they wanted to make an R-rated movie where the women sort of, you know, they kick ass and they're very violent. And it's an action movie where it's an R-rated action movie with women being the protagonists and doing all that.
Like Aliens.
And I agree. And I agree. I don't mind. I like that concept. I wish
like Terminator.
If you're going to do that concept, then go all the way and just do that concept instead of other things. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's her with the kid. Maybe that bothers me. I don't know.
That didn't bother me.
The idea of throwing the kid in there. So now it's like now the kid's around all that uncomfortable death and all that. And part of me is going, well, that kid's going to be scarred for life because of all this.
Yeah, but she's a kid. But she's really ambiguously like she could be 12. She could be 16, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, like, you know, she's a hard life and everything. So, yeah. For all the violence, there really isn't that much blood.
No, not well. They did a lot of punching where the blood flies at the camera and stuff like that. The 300 blood.
Some of the things I did like, I thought Black Canary, I'm glad that she used her canary screen again. That was great.
Your wife had, she was like, what? Like, because they set it up earlier when she blows up one thing, and we obviously know about her power. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't know about her power, you'd be confused too.
Like, I thought they handled it well. I liked how.
It tied into her mother too.
Yes, because there is an original Black Canary who was part of the Justice Society. Go down a whole road.
That's
there.
Awesome.
Which, well, there was one Black Canary back in the 40s, and then when they brought the new one in, and they're like, well, how old? And they go, oh, this is the daughter. And then they said the mother died, and there's this whole thing, which I thought she was fine. I love the way that Harley Quinn got on the skates and used the power to propel her forward. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought Black Canary did not bother me at all.
No, I thought she was good. The Huntress, I thought was good. The comic mask that she has at the end, they all have kind of outfits. I was kind of, oh, it's okay. It's not perfect, but it's not bad. I knew what you mean about the stiffness of the character. The character was played stiff for a joke like that. I liked here. I don't know if you know any about the origin of the Huntress, but originally the Huntress was the daughter of Catwoman and Batman.
Oh.
And that was then eventually on an Earth 2 scenario. Oh,
of course. As it
and
be.
Then they, you know, then they couldn't age up. So when they redid the DC Universe in 1986 for Crisis of Infinite Earths, they had to come up with a new Huntress. And so they came up with the Barnelli crime family, and that was pretty accurate. So that was really interesting. They've adjusted her character, and they've changed her back and forth over the years. But I mean, if you look at it, it's like, oh yeah, daughter of Catwoman and Batman. That makes sense, actually.
It does. They made her character, and I don't know if this is the way the character is, but her character tries to be ultra serious and is kind of portrayed as dumb.
Yes.
Is that the way she's supposed
no,
to be?
No, she's not like that at all.
But it was in this movie. And that's
well,
what
she's
I mean.
So stiff, she, and she's so couldn't. Stiff, you know, and I am the Huntress, serious, the crossbow yeah. killer. And okay, fine. I was already into that. I've learned to let go certain things. Like, Jerry, just get over it. Like as we talked about the theater, like, I have to get over the fact that the next Snake Eyes movie is going to be terrible. So I have to wait another 5 to 7 years before a G.I. Joe movie maybe gets made correctly because, yeah, that's just what it is. They're going to, I don't own the property. The comic books, The Birds of Prey, initially when that came out, it was made up of three characters. They've had other women jump in back and forth. Harley Quinn, never part of it. So like at the end when she's separate and the Birds of Prey over there are together, I'm like, yes, that's fantastic. The characters are usually Oracle, Barbara Gordon, the Huntress, and Black Canary. Barbara Gordon is Oracle when it was created, when she was shot by the Joker and paralyzed. And so she was a character called Oracle for about 15, 17, 18, 19 years in the comics. Great character. She couldn't be Batgirl. That's why they had Cassandra Cain as Batgirl, and they've had other Batgirls. And
she's not Batwoman? Who's Batwoman?
That's the one on the CW.
Is there a
that's
Bat a, chick?
No, is but there, there is Batwoman. The Batwoman's a different Cain. That's Kathy Cain, who's Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Okay. As
I've gone cross-eyed. So, no, when they did that, Barbara Gordon is the center. In fact, when you had the Birds of Prey TV series about 15 years ago, was one season show. It was Oracle. It was Huntress, but she was the daughter of Batman and Catwoman and was not so good. And then they had another Black Canary who didn't really have the powers, but then her mom was there and she did have the power and they fought against Harley Quinn. There's a whole thing with that. It was a terrible show. But and what was great about the Barbara Gordon character was that she was this, you know, she was a character for people with disability to look at and go, wow, you've got a superhero who's in a wheelchair fighting. And it was just brilliant. Brilliant. You know, even in a world where people, you know, have access to technology where there's nobody should ever be disabled in any of the Marvel or DC worlds because mm-hmm. they have the technology. The fact that she was, or magic for that matter, the fact that she was this hero was just phenomenal that she was able to do this, and she was connected to Suicide Squad, she was connected to Justice League, she was connected to everybody. And then when they relaunched the DC Universe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, she's Batgirl again because they know, like, listen, we want the icon. Like the same reason Barry is the Flash versus Wally West, Barry Allen is, because yep. Wally West was the Flash Wally West was the Flash for 20 plus years because Barry Allen died in the Crisis of Infinite Earths back in 85. They realized, like, if we're going to do Flash TVs and stuff like that, we need to go back to the original guy because Wally West's story is based on him being the second one. And Batgirl will always be the second one. So they said, well, we need to do this for marketing reasons. So that's why they did it. And so Barbara Gordon is now Batgirl again, which is fine. And it's still within continuity that she was Oracle, and they said, well, she just got a surgery and fixed her, which is great. But now the DC is one less great role model character of a disability, so they don't know what to do with that. It's like, who can fill that role? How can we do that? And so DC's just like, well, we're just not going to think about it, which is really sad. Well, and so they were talking about, are they going to have this character in the movie? And they said, well, maybe
in earlier scripts
one.
That yeah, in earlier scripts they had the character.
Because they're still talking about a Batgirl movie. Joss Whedon was supposed to direct
one
for a while.
Yeah, they were talking about Kristen Stewart playing Batgirl in this movie. Eek. And they ended up cutting it
after she
out.
Was busy with Charlie's Angels. That turned out really well.
Jeez.
Joel made me sit through the movie for a post-credit thing that was not worth sitting through. There was nothing to see at the end of that. Just Harley Quinn saying, oh, you stuck around to the end. Well, Batman is F. And then they cut it. So Batman is fat. Batman is F-word. Batman is fantastic. Yeah.
Well,
fantabulous. Who knows?
If you would have left and not seen it, you had to see it, especially for this podcast.
I read about it. You reminded me. I knew I read about it. And I forgot about it because it didn't mean anything. I like that. The villains all at the end had the masks. That's actually the False Face Society or the False Facers or whatever you want to call it. That's from the comic book. Everybody who works for Black Mask has masks. I thought that was good.
There was some, that whole fight scene there, where there was some great looking stuff. A little chaotic. I'd like to actually watch it again and see what's going on in certain areas. Versus when Marvel did this, obviously they've done it in most of the Avengers movies. The one that sticks out for me is Avengers Age of Ultron, when you have that fight scene and they're flying, there's the one, the flyers are flying around and it's going around the circle, mm-hmm. where you can see everything. This one felt a little more chaotic and didn't necessarily have that look here, look there. Although I did enjoy the moment when you could see them fighting and in the background Harley Quinn's flipping through the air on the trampoline.
Yeah, that was great. That was like, that. I love that. That's when
she's like obviously the original Harley Quinn from the Batman animated series. That's what she felt like. She felt like that kooky character. And I said this when I went to saw the movie, and I'm saying it now, the best part of this movie is Harley Quinn. When she's on screen, she's the biggest character. You want to watch her. You enjoy what's going on with her. She's close to being the Harley Quinn from the Batman animated series, only with more depth, I think.
I would disagree with that. I think you haven't watched all those ones and see how different she really is.
Okay, it's been a while, but yeah.
She's really different.
But because there's more depth. She's a person. Not
I liked
a
in the
character.
Animated opening, they showed her in the original costume. I'm like, there it is.
And so I really enjoyed Harley Quinn. I thought Margot Robbie in this movie was fantastic.
Margot
I really
Robbie's
did.
Good too. Hey, speaking of a show, the setting, like they want to desexualize the character and everything. Put her back in her original costume. It was the most, she's in a fantastic costume. It looks fantastic. And it's not sexualized at all.
And it's not like
at all. It's
not like it wouldn't work in this world. She's wearing crazy ass costumes, so she could wear that costume.
The costume looks great.
They reference
it. For half a second, we saw it in Suicide Squad.
And they also, she's wearing the corset. The corset had the pattern.
She doesn't wear a corset in the.
It was the corset bulletproof thing.
Yeah, I know that, but that's she in the cartoon in the original outfit. It was just one full outfit.
Oh no, it was just a one full outfit.
Speaking of wearing the corset, that was actually Renee Montoya, played by Rosie Perez,
of White Man Can't Jump.
Yes, the Snooki Brothers.
She's great in that movie. That movie's great.
It's a great movie. It's a fantastic film. No, she's a little older than the character normally, but Renee Montoya is. I believe right now in the comics, she's the Question. She's the female version of the Question.
The Riddler.
No, not that Question. No,
the Question Mark?
Yes, yes.
What's
you know
going
who
on
I'm speaking.
Here?
Exactly.
No, I have no idea who the Question is.
The Question is the detective who's got, who the Rorschach is based on in Watchmen. The Question is the guy who has no face. He's got the hat and the trench coat. You remember in the Justice League Unlimited? He's voiced by the guy who voiced it was in all the Deep Space Nine. Great actors. Name's escaping me. He was the guy who worked for the Odo's people on Deep Space Nine and played fantastic character. Jeffrey something or other. Great character, and she plays the female version in the comics now. So she's actually gone on to have superhero aspects of it. So I think I'm out of my stuff.
We're talking about her character real fast. I thought she was fine. She's a police officer who quits, and then she's fine being around people who, kill people. She's become a vigilante.
Which is fine. I mean, in that world, you can become a vigilante and make money and live. It's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, so overall, I would say the movie's definitely worth seeing. I don't know if it's worth seeing at the theater, but it's worth seeing. I will probably watch parts of it again. Maybe
I'll
the
watch
film
it.
Again.
I'll watch it again because my wife's going to want to. She didn't know she wanted to see it. I think she'll like it. Your wife loved it.
She liked it during the experience. I think when she thinks about it, she goes, "I don't." She's one of those ones who really enjoys the time, but she may not want to. She won't go out of her way to watch it again unless it's on. Then she might sit down and enjoy it again.
She was laughing through the whole thing. Oh yeah, and it was very funny. There were moments in there when she cuts her hair, and then she realizes what she cut her hair.
That was very funny. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So hopefully, it doesn't sound like we're picking on the movie too much. It's not a perfect film. We pointed out a lot of the problems with it, but we also pointed out a lot of the good things we enjoyed about it. So that is Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of one Harley Quinn, Harleen Quinzel. Look forward to seeing her, which they're filming right now. She's filming that character as we speak for Suicide Squad, which is fantastic. Like, I love the fact that, like, oh, she's already doing another one of that.
With Will Smith.
Exactly. Who?
Put the helmet on.
So coming up on our podcast feed will be our final Runaways of all time, final of the episodes 9 and 10 we will be doing. And then after that, coming up is Black Widow, and we'll see what other little stuff pops in between. DC, definitely, we'll see Wonder Woman 1984 coming up this summer. And what other DC ones? Well, the Batman is going into production too. So
DC's
and got, Suicide Squad, yes.
Yeah, but DC's and they just also, got movies. So
yeah, they also announced that they're going to be shooting both Shazam 2 and Black Adam at the same time.
I'm all for Shazam too. I thought first Shazam was fantastic.
Good film. Excellent. All right, DCFU. We'll see you again soon. This is Jerry.
This is Joel. We'll talk to you next time.